Connector! Welcome everybody to the Mass Effect Spoilercast. I am your host, Javik, the Reaper Killer. And of course, today we are joined by Mr. Steven, put it in Medakin Bay, Cortez, the gayest pilot in the galaxy.
Steven Cortez, huh?
That's his name, that's your name, man.
Hey, loco, want to box with me in a purely heterosexual boxing kind of way?
That's the wrong man, guys. You got it totally wrong. Also today...
That's not him?
We've
no,
got
that's not him.
The number one space bitch, Ashley Williams.
I'm broody.
You talking in the wrong voice, man, woman.
I could not even tell you what she sounds like.
No, I'm pretty sure Ashley's a man.
Now I know you're wondering if I'd be talking like this the whole show, man.
I hope so.
Nah. It's a little loud. A little loud.
All right, I'm done.
You promise?
Yeah. So welcome to the show, everybody. As that other guy mentioned, we're going to be talking about Mass Effect 3 in a spoilerific fashion, but that's going to be at the end of the show. I think we'll do a little bit of a regular show first, and we'll end up talking about all the Mass Effect spoiler goodies. Does that sound like a plan?
I think that's a fantastic plan of attack.
Yes, and we're coming at you a little early this week. I don't know why. It was Wombat's idea, but then I thought that if we did it today, then I can watch the Flyers beat the Penguins on Thursday, which is ideal.
See, and everybody wins. I wanted to do it while the game was still fresh in Shipwreck's mind, because I know he has very short-term memory.
Right. I've already forgotten it.
I can't even remember who James or Steve is.
I didn't even know there was someone named Steve. I thought you were just making a joke.
The pilot, the shuttle pilot.
He has a first name?
He comes with you every mission.
He has a first name?
You thought his name was Gay Shuttle Pilot?
Yeah.
I mean, I Googled it, obviously.
No, they always call him by his last name, so I didn't even know they gave him a first name.
Oh, right. That's right. Okay, well, welcome to the show, everybody. A lot of stuff to talk about this week, obviously. We're going to talk about Witcher 2, mm-hmm. and we're going to talk about Ridge Racer Unbounded, which I forgot to talk about last week. And, I don't know, we can talk about the physical exam that I had last week, where I had to bring not
awesome.
One, but two stool samples with me to the doctor. Have you ever taken a stool sample before?
I have.
Do they give you like the little, how do they do it in America? I bet you it's different. What do you have to do?
Well, they give you the little, they're like vials with little spoons. Mm. And you have to stick it in the thing up to the fill line. It's pretty gross.
Do they give you a piece of paper to put down in the toilet?
No, they don't give me a piece of paper.
Well, so how are you supposed to get it?
I just, you kind of dig in there.
No, but the duty's underwater, right?
Yes, the duty's underwater. Oh, they don't want the duty touching water? Well, you put it in liquid.
But what if it goes down the hole? You have to like get your hand in the water? Like
what?
How far
do you understand do you understand how toilets work? Yeah. You've been out of this country for a long time.
Well, my poop doesn't go all the way down the hole.
Well, see, in Japan they give you a piece of paper to sort of cover up the hole to make sure it doesn't go down the hole. Now, of course, it's usually not a problem for me because I have like an iceberg usually. Sometimes. You know what I mean. So you have to actually submerge the spoon into the water and pull it out of the water, I guess, for you in America. Because you have no paper. You have no hole blocker. So we had a similar scoop type thing. But it was
fantastic.
It was good. It was fun. Did you ever do the barium thing where you have to drink the barium? And
for what, an MRI kind of thing?
It's like a stomach. They test your stomach for something. They make you drink like a 16-ounce cup of barium, and then you lie on this metal Frankenstein table, and they basically, it's on like a remote control, and they spin you around, and like you're upside down, and this stuff they give you makes you, they give you the stuff that makes you really gassy, but you can't burp during the whole thing. It's horrible. And then I was pissing white barium out of my butthole for 3 days. Which was pretty sweet. Anyway,
I think that they were playing a joke on you. Like they were filming it for some Japanese TV show.
Right. It was hot. Yeah, it was pretty uncomfortable. But anyway, enough about my shit. How about what should we do? Some show feedback from last week?
Sure. Dr. Trey says, Hey, I forgot to put on my 2 cents when you guys were asking for feedback a couple of podcasts ago, but here's my beef. You guys are irreverent, I get that, but sometimes you come across as out of touch with the rest of the world. Case in point, Prothi the Prothean is not Jamaican. He's Nigerian and in no way sounds Jamaican. In fact, you guys don't know that that is irritating beyond end. More annoying is that was when that white guy does Jamaican. Oh, more annoying is that white guy does Jamaican accent Cheapy keeps doing. By the way, black people listen to your show too. Keep that in mind every once in a while. Just my 2 cents. A Jamaican accent is funnier than a Nigerian accent.
Of course, I know the difference between an African accent and a Jamaican accent, but yeah, of course.
Let's hear your Nigerian accent.
And I was going to say, in point B,
I wouldn't dare.
Chibi exactly. Can't do a Nigerian accent, so he's just doing the next best thing he could think of. Oh yeah, that's not offensive.
No. That's the least offensive accent I could do from that continent. No, I recognize, I like doing my fake Bob Marley impression. I had a big Bob Marley poster in my dorm room in college, which would come as a big surprise to nobody. And it used to glow in the dark. It was like black light friendly. And obviously I had a black light and you know, when things happen and you turn on the black light, it looked like this Bob Marley poster. It looked like he had braces because his teeth would glow in a really weird manner. So I used to say, hey, man, don't be making fun of me braces. And that's how my horrible Jamaican accent was perfected, really. So there you go. Sorry, Dr. Trey, if we offended you. We are just trying to be irreverent and irrelevant at the same time. Thank you.
Irreverent.
All those big words that yes. I don't understand. You guys watch Drive yet, bitches?
Oh, you know, I was going to.
But?
But then I didn't.
Did you watch?
I saw the Blu-ray at Walmart.
Did you watch the new Jennifer Love Hewitt show called The Client List?
No, I don't hate myself that much.
She plays a out-of-work masseuse that has to get a job at a rub-and-tug because she has no money and her husband left her. But mostly the show is about her tits, which are prominently on display. In fact, in the first 3 minutes of the TV show, they're having a child's birthday. They have like 2 or 3 kids. I've already forgot. And they're having a birthday party. And the husband and Jennifer Love Hewitt go inside for a minute because they get into a little fight. And they have sex on the kitchen table, even though the kid's birthday party is going on right in the backyard. But you see her, I mean, you know, she's just got a bra on and she's on her back. And she's got some double dragons for sure.
Yeah, her body is a wonderland.
Is what?
Her body is a wonderland.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
That song that song's about her.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even know the song.
Never mind.
The show's pretty horrible besides that. Anyway, should we do some new releases?
Sure. I got a pinball table. That's new.
That is the thug life.
Yeah, so I have a pinball table in my house now. It's pretty neat. I like that.
Is it in the Donkey Kong piano room?
It is.
You mean the Donkey Kong piano pinball room.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That
room's going to get really out of hand the more stuff I add to it.
Which table did you get?
It's a table called Kings of Steel.
Hmm.
It's a Bally Midway table from the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only $350.
Cheap.
Yeah, that's really cheap for a pinball table. And it was from a guy right here in my neighborhood. So he brought it over in his van. Sweet. So I didn't have to pay for delivery.
Sweet.
We got it in here and it was working at his house. But then when we got it over here, one of the flippers wasn't working, which is an issue
right.
with a pinball table. It's not nearly as much fun.
Right.
And so he got out of his soldering gun and fixed it on the spot.
Wow. So, great service.
Yeah, it was good. I liked this.
What's next on what's going to go next in the pinball Donkey Kong piano room?
Oh, who knows? Probably another pinball machine. I don't know.
You think you'd go pinball again? Really?
It just depends on what all these people in my neighborhood sell.
I know. You know, I looked up on my Craigslist to see if there was anything even remotely that interesting and nothing. There's nothing that good around here.
What about a Super Chex hockey table?
I could go for one of those.
Those are awesome.
Those are cool.
I'll have to see what comes up on my neighborhood classifieds.
And I'm the best at it, also, in case you're wondering. I will take on all comers at Super Chex Hockey.
The problem with that is I can't play that by myself.
You cannot. That is correct.
So it does me as much good as the piano does.
Right. All right. Very good. Congratulations. I'm jealous. I'm very jealous. I'd like to have...
You can come over and play it sometime. It's good.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yep.
It, like, I would say it's probably 95% working.
That's pretty sweet.
So it's pretty good.
Mazel tov. All right. So how about those
Jewish
new releases?
Thing to you too. new releases. Wombat got my copy of The Witcher 2 in the mail.
I did, and I've been playing it,
he's
too.
He's playing that.
How did he get your copy?
I don't know.
Because I requested it, and they sent it to him.
So I Skylandered it and kept it for myself. Because I wanted to play it.
So how's that going?
It's not bad. I'm about 10 hours in. So that's actually at the very end of Act 1, for whatever that means to people. It's a very long game. It is a Polish game, and it was a PC game, and it feels kind of European and like a PC game. It's not very user-friendly. It doesn't... how do I explain this well? It's not a user-friendly game, and there's a very steep learning curve. So if you're used to games like Skyrim in many ways, I mean, that first hour kind of holds your hand. This game doesn't do that.
That's weird, because I was reading how that was one of the changes they made for this enhanced edition on 360.
There is a tutorial, and the tutorial isn't bad, and I do highly recommend you take it. Do it. It's optional. But there's still a lot that it doesn't do. You know, the first hour of the game actually is pretty straightforward, but once everything kind of opens up a little bit, it can get a little confusing. And it does take a little just getting used to the world that you're in. You pick up a lot of items and you start hitting a point where it's like, well, I'm picking up everything. Things don't really weigh that much, so I'm not encumbered. Mm-hmm. But I have no idea if I have any use for 90% of the things I'm carrying.
Hmm.
So you have that. There are certain missions where you go to select the mission and, you know, I'm used to, and this is a me thing. It's not necessarily the game. It's just what I'm used to. You select a mission. It tells you where to go to either talk to someone to start the mission or where you need to find something next to do in the mission or even how to do the mission. There's a side mission where, lots of games have this. You go to the board in front of the inn and you select a contract.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a very common RPG trope, and I selected one, and it tells me to, get rid of the thingamabobbers. I'm like, all right, get rid of the thingamabobbers. So I go, and I'm out in the world, I kill a couple of them. It doesn't really tell me what to do, how to eradicate the thingamabobbers.
Hmm.
And I had to kill a whole bunch of them, and the more I killed, then I would get information on I would learn about how to kill them by killing a lot of them. And then it told me, oh, the way to kill them is to, you have to blow up their caves. So I find the cave and I hit the button that says examine. And then it says, I wish I had something to blow up this cave with. But I don't know what I haven't found anything to blow up the caves with. So, again, I'm sure there are people that have played this game that have passed that now think I'm an idiot. But it's just, it's a different style. This is a RPG for people that are used to playing these kinds of games.
But it's an action RPG, right?
But it is an action RPG, and the sword fighting is done very well. The magic feels a little lackluster to me, but it just may be because it's not leveled enough yet.
How would you compare the combat in this game to like Kingdoms of Amalur or Fable or Skyrim even?
It's similar. It's similar in a way to Amalur, I guess, because it's third person. It's a little bit, it's like Skyrim meets Amalur kind of combat. You push A, you don't pull the trigger. There's a light attack and a heavy attack, and then you could do your magic. You could also plant traps and throw bombs.
That sounds pretty good.
It is. It's very good. What the game misses, and I know it's a third-person game, but I wish there was a crosshair. Because lots of times you'll be standing over, you'll need to push A to open the door, or like to pick up a small item on the ground, and you think you're looking at the item on the ground, but the game doesn't think you're looking at the item on the ground. So you find yourself moving backwards and side to side, trying to get to that sweet spot so you could hit A and pick up the item on the ground. Where
that's a common theme with all of these European PC to console conversions.
Yeah, exactly.
I've done that 3 or 4 times at least in other games.
Yeah, I say that these aren't necessarily things that are bad. They're not. They don't ruin the game. They're not game breaking. They're definitely nitpicky. The graphics are interesting in the sense that sometimes the graphics look amazing, and then there are other times where it's like, what the fuck is going on with that guy's hands?
I'm pretty interested in this. You know, you don't think I would like it? Because I see the review. It's got a 90 on Metacritic, and they say it's like one of the best RPGs of...
I would be very interested to know what you think of it. I think you would get frustrated with it, because I think you'd be... I think you'll spend a lot of time running around in circles trying to figure out what it is you're supposed to do next.
Right. I may have to give it a shot, because it's kind of a... I don't know if I have anything to play right now.
I do recommend it for the 10 hours I've played. I could say that this game is definitely a lot of fun. It's definitely interesting. The character of the Witcher, you don't create a character, you play as the Witcher. That's who you are. Mm-hmm. The character of the Witcher, though, is a very good character. That's one of the strongest
things. The story is supposed to be good, too.
The story is good. No, and I enjoy. You know what I like about the Witcher character? You know, you do your dialogue trees a la Mass Effect, where you get to choose your thing.
Right.
Picking the dick choice makes sense with the Witcher.
He's kind of a dick.
You could see where he could be kind of a dick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I kind of like that. I kind of like, yeah, this guy's kind of a badass, and I can do badass things with this guy. If I want to take a sword and hack up a bunch of things, I'm going to take out my sword and hack up a bunch of things. So,
all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I like I said, I think there can be a little too much of the chit chat sometimes. Like there's a certain long stretch in Act One where there really isn't much action, and that was a little too long. And there's also a stealth section that kind of falls flat.
Right, right.
But again, these are small issues in what so far has overall been a very positive experience, because I've never really sunk my teeth into a Polish RPC based RPG before, so. Despite the familiarity with the material, there's a lot that's very new for me.
Hmm. Cool. I think I'm going to buy it.
I think you should then.
Cool. Cool.
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to get it tomorrow.
Then we'll all talk about it next week in depth.
Excellent. All right. What else we got this week?
Not a whole lot. I guess Trials Evolution is supposed to come out for Xbox Live Arcade.
That's the motorcycle puzzle game-ish thing, right?
Yeah, the thing that gets really hard.
Yeah, that's the thing
it's
I won't
physics
be
physics based and everything.
The thing I won't be buying. All right,
I'm gonna play the demo and see what it's. I really like the first one up to a point,
right?
And then it just got too tedious,
mm-hmm. Punishing. All right.
Yeah, and yeah, I've been playing some Disgaea 3: Absence of Detention for the Vita, and that. It's a port of Disgaea 3. I mean, it's your strategy turn-based RPG. They added some extras and stuff, but...
And they took out the detention, right?
I have no idea, but I get the joke.
Right.
I got the joke.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
it's not an absence of bad jokes. Don't worry.
No. We got plenty of those. Stay tuned, everyone. Yeah, so it seems fine. I mean...
Cool.
It's not going to change your mind on Disgaea one way or the other.
All right.
And then, Wombat, you like these Deadliest Warrior games. It looks like there's one of those coming out.
Is it a new game, or is it just like a remastering of the old ones?
Mm.
It's a retail release, right? Or no?
Mm.
Looks like it.
All right. You're very helpful there.
I don't know.
It does look like a retail release. I don't know. This is your stuff. You're like the person who plays Deadliest Warrior.
I tried watching that show. It was pretty budget.
Oh, I like
the show. Wrong. It was also just wrong about things. Like they had a ninja battle, and the ninja had like a certain sword, and Shima, my wife, was like, "That's wrong. Like they didn't use those swords." And we looked them up, and she was right.
Well, Deadliest Warrior Agent Combat is $29.99 on Amazon.
Right.
It is a retail release.
It's a big seller.
Ancient Combat includes Deadliest Warrior the game and DLC pack with 11 warrior classes, and DLC and Deadliest Warrior Legends in the DLC pack with 10 warriors. And it includes...
So it's the complete edition.
Yeah.
Game of the Year edition?
It also, and it also includes 6 full-length episodes of the TV show and an interactive graveyard environment.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else? That looks like it, I think.
That's pretty much it.
I think that's enough.
All righty then. Let's do a quick shout out to our friends at GoDaddy.com for all your web hosting and domain registration needs. Got some coupon codes for that ass. 10% off any order, CAG 10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG 5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registrations with CAG domain. There you go. GoDaddy.com. Boing. Shall we talk about the March 2012 NPDs?
Those came out last week.
Right. So let's see. I'm looking at the big... So Mass Effect 3 sold like gangbusters. Over 1 million copies.
1.3.
That's right. And the 360 version outsold the PS3 version 4-1. And it did twice as well as Mass Effect 2 on their opening. So there you go. Mass Effect 3 is number one. Big surprise, at least for me. Number two is Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City.
Yeah, I didn't expect this game to sell that well. It got pretty lousy reviews, and I didn't even really see the marketing for it, which is actually what's so surprising.
Sold just under 600,000 copies. Number three, MLB 12, The Show. For PS3 and Vita.
Are you really going to go through the whole top 10?
Sure. NBA 2K12, number 4. Number 5, SSX, which I'm still thinking about getting once the price is right. And let's see. Street Fighter times Tekken, number 6.
Cross Tekken.
X-Tekken?
Yes. Divided by Tekken.
Right.
Over 3. Yes. It's cross.
All I know is I'm not buying it.
That's the square root of Tekken?
Number 7, Mario Party 9, another game I'm not buying. Number 8, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Number 9, Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja. And number 10, Major League Baseball 2K12. I got this from NeoGAF, by the way. Binary Domain only sold 20,000 copies.
That's terrible. That game deserves so much better than that. That game is so much better than that Resident Evil crap that's at number 2.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of...
Oh, that's right. You like that Binary Domain game.
It's a great game.
Even with the horrible voice acting, it doesn't get annoying. You swear that doesn't get annoying. With the French guy talking.
The French guy's great.
He's great?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's not annoying. He's great.
He's great. The only guy that's somewhat annoying is Big Bo.
Right.
But... After a while, you just don't take him with you on missions.
Because he's too annoying.
Yeah.
So what is the math there? Well, I'm going to do it right now because I feel like it. So it's 20,000 copies times $60. That's still $1.2 million.
Right.
So what if they made this a $15 XBLA game? They would have needed to sell 80,000 copies just to meet that goal. Do you think
that wouldn't happen?
Or let's say PSN and XBLA at $15. Do you think they would have sold more than 80,000 digital downloads?
No.
Now, what do you think, Cheapy?
I think they should have made it a freemium game, and they could sell you all the characters separately. And
that freemium how? On a disc in the store or down?
I'm just digital kidding. I don't know.
I think they should have just called it Resident Evil, or something very close to Resident Evil.
Right. They needed a licensing agreement in there or something. Nobody knows what that is. And, you know, obviously Sega is not spending a lot of money on marketing to get the word out there. And that's why it sold 20,000 units.
I mean, you see Mario Party 9 up there, and that game, it's Mario Party. It's not great or whatever, but that sells because it has Mario in the title. I mean, everything up there, everything in the top 10 is a proven franchise.
Yep. It's tough. It's hard out there for a new intellectual property.
Unless
especially
it's a very
from a Japanese
yeah, but
publisher,
you know,
no
all
money.
Of those sequels except for the sports games were once new games. I mean, if you want to,
well,
sort of.
It's a different world out there.
Yeah, I mean, Mass Effect.
New games. 15 years ago.
Mass Effect isn't that old in the grand scheme of things. 5 years old.
Right, but it's.
But it's
know, they put
yeah.
a lot of money into the marketing.
Oh, I know. I'm just you know. Talking. I'm talking.
On the hardware front. Xbox 360 came in number one, 371,000 units. PS3 right behind it at 337,000. The 3DS at 225,000. The Wii at 175,000. And the Vita, Sony's not telling you because it's so good. They sold so many. They don't want to embarrass all the other companies. So they're just going to keep that huge number underneath their hat. So, yeah. I don't know what to say about the Vita.
Do you think sales were really that bad?
Yeah, I mean, when you don't...
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the Sony PR quote, it talks nothing about how many, you know, systems they've sold. It's all just, you know, bullshit. PR bullshit. It's like, oh, you know, we're seeing strong digital downloads across the board. And soon we're going to have Mortal Kombat, Resistance, and Skype. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
That adding that Skype on there just makes it seem...
reaching for straws?
It's really reaching there. Like, you can say, yeah, we got Mortal Kombat coming and Resistance coming. Because those games, they have a... Like, people are going to buy those.
Right.
Those are proven franchises.
Right.
But you can't just add Skype on the end there and call it a day.
Well, they ran out of things to talk about.
Yeah. It's so sad. I don't know.
We'll see. Well, maybe, you know, maybe I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to clear out all the suckers now who are going to spend $250 for it. And then when they drop the price to something more reasonable, just like the 3DS, then the sales will start picking up, hopefully. Hopefully.
Hopefully, we'll maybe. Maybe. Maybe I'll buy one eventually.
Okay, we will see.
It's a nice system. I like the system.
I know.
I'm sure it's a very nice system. Do you have the Wi-Fi one or the 3G/Wi-Fi one? I forget.
I have the Wi-Fi
one. Okay.
That's all you need. You don't need the 3G.
Yeah, do you think that was a mistake, the 3G?
Even making one?
Yeah.
It seems kind of pointless.
I mean, you have to have AT&T, and it costs more money. You know, there's obviously the AT&T fee. Do you think that was a mistake?
It's just like, what are you doing online with the Vita on over 3G? You know, looking on near and trying to figure out what what the hell that means, or what? You know, you need to send.
I mean, you're not
going to
really
PSN.
Be downloading a game. I mean, wouldn't the files
actually.
Be a little large for that?
You can't. Yeah, there's limits and things. So you
yeah. So that's
that.
My next question. If there's really nothing that large that you could even download on the 3G, why even have? Are the transactions on the 3G small enough where they could have gotten away with just giving that to you for a more expensive console?
Oh, like sort of like the Kindle does?
Like the Kindle does.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, because just for like sending messages and checking near, yeah, that would be pretty small amount of data sent. But I don't know. It does seem like there's no real reason for that 3G model to exist, which is why you see them on sale at some places. But anyway, enough NPD and Vita nonsense.
I told you, I tweeted about it, but Target is already clearancing out like USB cables and power cables and the official Sony cases for the Vita.
Right. Got to make room.
They do. I mean, Target's very, very aggressive with their clearance. If something's not selling or they have something else coming in, it doesn't sit there. They get it out of the store.
They need to make room for more Skylanders. Just
right,
clear
well,
out.
Those
gonna,
sell.
Yeah, those things sell. So just get rid of all that space and give it to Skylanders.
All right. Let's move on to some multi-platforming, Wombat's news and stuff. So we talked about The Witcher. I wanted to talk a little bit about Ridge Racer Unbounded, which a lot of people probably just blew off because they see Ridge Racer and they think it's just another Ridge Racer game. But this game is actually made by the people... by Bugbear, who made Flatout, yeah, which is a
That's right.
which is a pretty unique driving game. very destruction based, and they're trying to put this game in that direction. So in a lot of ways, it borrows from Burnout Paradise and even Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. So there's destruction type races where you get points for taking out other players. It's pretty solid as far as a driving game and racing game goes. It's really missing the polish of a Need for Speed Hot Pursuit or a Burnout. The graphics aren't quite there. It doesn't have any licensed cars, which Hot Pursuit does. The actual physics in terms of the crashing and taking out the other racers is just a little off. Like sometimes you'll be driving and you'll feel like a guy comes behind you with a little just a little tap, and you're just like, you're dead, you've exploded, and it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel as good as Hot Pursuit, which pretty much nailed the whole collision thing. So it's hard. While I enjoy the game, it's hard for me to really recommend it at full price or really anywhere near full price. The drifting is fun, but it's just missing that layer of polish that these other bigger releases have. So I would say keep an eye on it for the bargain bin, but don't discount it because it's got Ridge Racer in the title. It really doesn't have much in common with Ridge Racer. And that being said, God, I hope there's a new Need for Speed Hot Pursuit this year. That would be awesome. That game was so good. Anywho, did you read about this new rumor about Apple and Valve working together on a game console? Apparently, Tim Cook, who's the CEO of Apple, visited Valve. And that's a pretty rare thing for this guy to get out and go visit other companies.
No, Rare is a different company. They're owned by Microsoft.
That's very funny.
I thought so.
Apparently, it's some sort of super high-tech console featuring Kinect-like stuff, and I don't know. It's I'm interested. You've got my interest. I don't know if it's just bullshit or what, but it was on this website called Cult of Mac, which is pretty reliable. They don't post bullshit rumors. So it's supposed to have a touch. It's supposed to, let's see. It's built into this rumored Apple TV, like actual TV, not just like that little black box thing. I don't know. I'm interested. You've got my interest.
Oh. That sounds expensive.
I was thinking the same thing. So I have to get a new TV to play these new games, which may just be games from Steam.
It says the set will come with an Apple-branded game console with Kinect-like controls. The interface is said to rely heavily on motion and touch controls.
So do you think there'll be another version that's just the console to use on my current TV?
I don't know. It's way too early.
What good are you?
They can't just sell you. They can't just expect everyone to buy a new TV to play.
Why not?
Because it's going to cost a fortune.
They expect you to buy a new iPod pad every time.
Yeah, but it doesn't cost $2,000.
No, it costs $600 for something with very limited functionality.
What are you talking about? iPad's awesome. Don't be hating on the iPad just because you're going to have to buy the TV to get the console.
Exactly.
Don't be hating on. Don't be hating on the iPod.
I will hate on Apple all I want.
All right, fine. Let's see. Anything else we need to talk about here? You saw this posting? Like some guy put on his LinkedIn profile that he worked with Microsoft on a new way of, let's see, quote unquote.
That's not what it really says. But go ahead.
What does it say? Go ahead. Take it away, Wombat.
He just mentions that because it was. I thought it was a.
Here's the quote.
Strategy to further monetize Xbox Live subscriber base that will be implemented for holiday 2012.
Right. So that really, I guess, that doesn't mean much of anything.
It doesn't mean anything. That's his job, is to get you to spend more money on Xbox Live.
Right. There's a lot of people who have that job.
Exactly. It's not some insidious plot. That's the man's job.
I'm pretty sure his plan was just to raise the price again on the subscription.
First of all, we don't know what the quote unquote plan is. And people already jumped to the worst conclusion of they're going to take something away from you.
Oh, is that what people are worried about?
I don't know. I have no idea. So yeah,
they're gonna take away voice chat.
Yeah, exactly. Microsoft. Here's newsflash: Microsoft wants more of your money.
Right.
Man, big deal. All
right. Okay.
They
fine.
All they all want more of my money.
Right. Well, should what's one more thing on Apple? While we're talking about Apple, I bought this game on it's on iPad and iPhone, and it's made by Hothead Games. It's called Big Win Hockey, and they also have a soccer version. It's one of these games that. Remember I talked about the NHL Ultimate Team mode where you have to buy like the fake card packs to build your hockey team? So it's like that, except you don't actually even play the hockey game. You just watch your team play. And you have cards that you can play at the start of the game, which will sort of boost your team, such as, you know, big hits or strong shots or face-off prowess or whatever. I spent $20 on cards that don't exist. That's really embarrassing.
Are these real players or fake players?
Fake players.
That's what makes it bad.
I don't know how. I just because I couldn't win. I wanted to win. So I said, if I spend $20, I'm probably going to win.
Because the game itself is free.
The game itself was free. But you just can't get. It's just like impossible to get any good players unless you spend money. And I figured if I'm going to spend money, I might as well make sure I get the good players. So if I got a lot of the big bucks.
A briefcase of big bucks?
I got the $20 one. Whatever.
Yes, that's called a briefcase of big bucks.
Yeah. The game is pretty cool. I wish there was a little more to do in it because now that my team is pretty awesome and I can win all the time, I don't really know what else to do. There's like a daily cup that you can win. Where they, you know, you play 20 games a day and they put you in a division with 10 other people and whoever has the best record wins. And I've won that twice. And then there's a quick game that you just play against a random person. So I wish there was a little more going on in it, but I approve of the concept. And I'm embarrassed to tell you that I spent that much.
That's what I was going
to
say. That's my
Yeah, it's that was ridiculous. I might have been under the influence at the time.
That would explain it.
Yeah. So, is it?
It sounds like that football game I used to play, that quick hit football.
Oh, okay.
The one that was on just in web browsers.
I see.
But that had some actual players. Like, that had like a handful of actual pros.
You can rename the players, so you can make them whatever you want. So, I just made like old flyers and I just changed the names a little bit to be funny. Well, not really funny, but anyway. Is it time for some Mass Effect 3 spoiler talk?
Oh, I haven't finished it.
Yes. Okay, so if you don't want to hear spoilers, now's the time to say goodbye, okay? Because now the spoilers are coming.
Yeah, you got a good 40 minutes of show, though, this week, you people who haven't finished the game yet. So, you know.
I wouldn't say it was a good 40 minutes.
Well, I meant, like, time-wise.
I know.
It was
know
an actual,
meant.
Yeah, you can eat me.
All right, well, Wombat, it was your idea. I think you are in charge for this discussion.
Okay, so let's go into it. Mass Effect, the one of the best video game trilogies I think I've ever played. I know Shipwreck never finished Mass Effect 1, right? That's a fact?
That is a fact.
Yes, and GB, you played all and finished all three, yes?
I did.
So how many other trilogies of this generation have you completed in full?
Name some other trilogies.
Uncharted,
Halo,
not Fable, not Halo. No,
not really, because that isn't Halo's really a, of this. I guess
that's not really
this generation.
Uncharted is one. Uncharted is one. Resistance is one.
Fable.
No, Fable started in the last generation.
That's right. It did. Yeah.
Okay.
How many trilogies in general have you finished, really? But not many. I mean, really, there haven't been. Many trilogies this generation. I think Shipwreck just named all three of them.
Assassin's Creed. What about Assassin's
Creed?
Oh,
there you go. There's been lots of Assassin's Creed. So
there has been, but it's like there's only some of them have actual numbers on the end of them.
Yes, so, and the real Assassin's Creed 3 comes out this year.
Right, and I haven't played Revelations.
So do you think you could tell the story of Assassin's Creed, of Mass Effect 1?
I don't think I could tell you the story of Mass Effect 3.
That's pretty funny. So
I could tell you the story of Mass Effect 1.
Tell me the story of Mass Effect 1. Bring us up to date.
Why? Do we really need to do this?
No, we don't really need to. Fine, we won't really need to do this. I thought it...
Well, I mean, it's...
Just, I was going to, like, in a sentence...
It's Shepard. Shepard meets the Reapers. Saren gets indoctrinated by the Reapers. He tries to attack the Citadel, and Shepard stops him.
There you go. That's the first game in a nutshell. That's pretty good. That's good. That's all I needed. And the second game, he joins... So, in the very beginning of the second game, Shepard dies. And then he's brought back to life by Cerberus. Cerberus, right?
Cerberus.
Cerberus. Why do I always do that? Cerberus. And one's a dog and one's a comic strip character. so, and then he joins up with them to kill a whole bunch of Reapers. Yes? Got it?
Well, who are the Collectors?
No,
the Collectors.
He kills the Collectors.
That's right, he kills the Collectors.
What's the difference between the Collectors and the Reapers? The Collectors are controlled by the Reapers?
The Collectors are the Protheans.
The Collectors are the corrupted Protheans.
Shit, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're not really Protheans. If they were Protheans, they're Javits. Yeah,
they're the same as what the Husks are for
exactly.
humans. Or,
so they're, they're corrupted, but they were corrupted by the Reapers. And the Reapers only come every 50,000 years to wipe out all organic life, which Shepard finds...
Except for those little spider guys.
Yes, except for the
Keepers.
Except for the Keepers. And Shepard finds this out, and he goes to warn everyone, and everyone tells him that he's crazy and that he's been too busy working for Cerberus. And
Cerberus.
I know, I did that one on purpose. And they lock him away, and that brings you to Mass Effect 3.
Right.
Right. So here we are, Mass Effect 3. Shepard breaks the Reapers are attacking Earth and pretty much wrecking shit. Admiral Akbar comes in and says that it's time for you to be reinstated. Obviously, it's very easy for them to go, and you're in. So, and there he is. And then he's running around with a gun again.
Yep.
And they give him his old ship back.
Yep.
Even though that it was part of the other team in the last game.
No, they got a new ship. It was a new ship.
It's still called the Normandy and still has Edie on it.
It was new, though, wasn't it?
No. This is the same ship from 2. They had a new ship between 1 and 2.
Right. Okay.
And in 2, the ship is new because it has Edie on it.
How did Cerberus let them keep that ship?
Because Commander Shepard came back to the Alliance, and so they...
He just took it.
Like he took, himself he in, took a basically. Ship with him. He's like, the ship's mine. Yeah. That was his severance pay.
That was the severance of spaceship.
Because I assume a ship like that costs $1 billion.
At least.
And then I guess the Federation government confiscated it from him, because technically it's his ship, isn't it?
I don't know.
Like, if it wasn't a government ship to begin with,
right?
Yeah, we're already we're 5 minutes into the game. We've already kind of like blown apart too many flat holes to.
It's confusing, to say the least.
It's not even that it's confusing. It just...
Nothing's confusing so far.
It's not it's confusing. It wasn't well thought out.
Okay.
Why was that not thought out? That seems perfectly thought out to me.
Sure.
He came along with the ship, and they said, hey, we're going to just hold on to that ship for a while until we need you.
So you're
and now we need you, so here's your ship back.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were in there investigating it, seeing what they could learn about Cerberus. And then they gave it back
and
to
him. Cerberus.
Right. All right. What else?
Sure. It is.
Okay. Now, did we all had Ashley in our game? I think we mentioned that early on.
Yes.
For some people, it's Caden. For us, it's Ashley. Isn't it? Can it be?
Are you sure you can have Caden if you're a dude?
Caden Olenko. I don't know if you're. I don't know. I know that...
No, I'm pretty sure if you're a dude, you have Ashley with you no matter
but
what.
But what if Ashley died in Mass Effect 1?
I think Caden dies. I don't think she can die in Mass Effect 1.
She totally can die in Mass Effect 1. It's who you choose to die. I finished the game, you didn't. But regardless, that person gets messed up and gets sent to the hospital, and then you all of a sudden are going to the Citadel to see how they're doing.
Right. She can die.
She can die. Yeah.
Right.
So, and I romanced her in the first game, and she was whiny the whole time about how she couldn't trust me anymore. So this is one of the things that kind of bothered me about the game as I jump around a little too fast. I think they really turned that whole, okay, now Cerberus is the enemy. I'm Shepard and I'm going to kill them all willy-nilly. I think that switch was just flipped really fast.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't bother me
Why?
Too much.
They're shooting at him.
I understand that. I just see it, but that also, it seemed a little gun jumpy.
What?
I don't know. It seemed a little too fast. I needed probably like two lines of dialogue to make it seem a little better for me. But it just...
There was a whole lot of lines of dialogue. They're called the books.
Yeah, well, I didn't read the book.
Well, you don't have to read the book. That's not fair.
But I mean, yeah, but that's just it.
But they always were supposed a little like on the dark side, right? So it shouldn't be come as too much of a surprise that they went all the way.
A little bit, it does surprise me that they would go all the way.
All right, what else? Let's move on.
Let's talk about the ending. You want to talk about the ending first? What did you think of the ending?
I want to hear what Shipwreck thought of the ending.
The ending does not make sense. That's what I think of it. I don't need a, like, people have complained that people are upset because it's not a happy ending. I have no qualms whether it was a happy ending or a sad ending.
Right.
Like, it's just that it makes no sense.
I wasn't clear why Shepard had to die. And like you said, Ship, I'm not opposed to Shepard dying in theory, but I just wasn't clear why he had to die.
You know what else?
You're given a choice at the end. It's pick one of these three doors.
Right. Pick one of these three ways that you're going to die.
It's like, let's make a deal. Monty Hall comes out as a ghost child and says, would you like the box, the door, or what's in my pocket?
Right.
And
who was that? Who was that guy?
Who was what? The kid?
Yeah.
The kid?
He's the kid.
It's not explained.
He's the kid that controls the Reapers.
I think what happened here... Yeah. What happened here was they overthought this. They tried to make this big grand ending to this thing, like all philosophical and everything. And they just didn't... They didn't have enough threads to it. Like... It just went way past everybody. It wasn't explained.
You can't drop in a new character in the last scene of a huge game, a huge series of games like this. Like, oh, it's this little... I mean, who's the catalyst?
That kid said he was.
He said he was the catalyst, right? What the hell does that mean?
The other catalyst was the Citadel.
Right. And what about that thing they were building? What about the Crucible?
Well, the catalyst.
The weapon.
Yeah, that. Well, the Crucible needed the Citadel to work.
And was he on the Crucible?
Yes,
at the end there.
He's on.
Okay,
so
that was the Crucible.
He's on the Citadel, which is in the Crucible. It's now part of
inside
the Crucible.
Jesus, man, it got like crazy at the end. I didn't know what the hell.
Here's just something else that bothers me, and I mentioned this earlier. Yes, Shepard dies, and I guess it's fine. But the problem I have with it is they already did that in the second game.
He doesn't have to die, by the way.
Well, he takes a breath. If you get two of the endings, he could take a breath before it cuts the credits.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not quite dead, I guess. Right? Is that what it is? He's not quite dead. Is that what we're supposed to believe?
Well, and then there's the whole Buzz Aldrin thing at the end where it says, "Tell me another story about Shepard."
Yeah. Well, tell me another story about the Shepard.
Well, that's just. Man. Them being super clever about his last name being
right,
Shepard.
Right.
Are we just supposed to think that maybe he's not dead? Are we supposed to think he's not dead? I mean, obviously...
But didn't the mini Monty Hall say that, like, you're going to die?
Yeah, he says you're going to die about all the choices. And in three of the five endings, although I think there's technically 16, but really, three endings... And two of the endings can end with him taking a breath, unless you pick the ending that I picked where he doesn't fall to Earth, I guess. But, and he could take that last breath, which could technically mean that he's alive. And again, he died in the second one. That, and I don't really think they foreshadowed him dying. I think that's what I thought was... It's not that he died that bothers me. I don't think they set up the death well enough if that's the end game they were going for. I think they set up... You know, and I've seen other people talk about what ending they would have liked to have seen, and I think this is set up a little bit better, especially if you picked a Renegade or a Paragon choice, where either the Elusive Man or Admiral Anderson die in your place. Like what I would was almost hoping would happen would be at the last minute, depending, you know, say you're a paragon. So I would say in the paragon would probably be the elusive man who realizes that he was wrong the whole time and sacrifices himself for you. Or if you're renegade, Admiral Anderson won't let you sacrifice yourself for the universe, so he does it in your place. And I think
I don't know.
And I think they set that up a little bit better. I think they set up the tragic romance of the Admiral throughout the game a little bit. And they also set up the elusive man, you know, being indoctrinated and realizing he's wrong and all that kind of fun stuff. And that whole, you know, Darth Vader redemption through death kind of thing. But there was no reason for Shepard to die. And I think that's what was kind of, I think that's what is the weak part of Shepard dying. Not Shepard dying. It doesn't need to be a happy ending, but I want it to be a good reason for Shepard to die.
It's yeah. It just like wasn't clear why. I don't know. They just dropped that shit on you. Like it came out of nowhere. You can't introduce a new midget Monty Hall at the end of the game.
Well, also there's also that, and there's also the Normandy flying through space.
Yeah. So we talked about last week a little bit about this video that Angry Joe made. It's a like 20-minute video.
Yeah, it's
maybe,
about 20 minutes.
Like, I think it's called 10 Reasons Why We Hate the Mass Effect ending or something like that. And he makes a good point. So at the end, after the whole Shepard, you know, sacrifices himself for the universe, you see the spaceship, you see the Normandy land on a planet somewhere and your crew gets off and they're like on some new, where were they? Where'd they land even? I don't even remember.
Jungle planet.
Mm-hmm. And it was, but this guy, Angry Joe, made a point. He's like, these guys were in the middle of a huge battle. Like they're just going to take off and just like they just left to go
for no reason. They were everyone was on Earth. Everyone on that ship was on the planet Earth, fighting right. The good fight. And right. Then in the blink of an eye, they're on the other side of a major space war.
What one of them got blown up with me by the Harbinger?
Yeah,
but somehow was on the ship. So you guys have watched the indoctrination video then, right?
I haven't.
Theory?
Yeah,
you haven't?
Have. You can explain it.
Okay, I have. You want me to explain
nope,
it?
Nope, you will.
To?
You're up.
Okay. So there's this whole, it's another 20-minute video that somebody's put out here online, which their whole thing is that whole last sequence happens in Shepard's mind as he's getting indoctrinated.
Okay.
And I think they're probably right. I think this is probably something similar to what BioWare is going for here. But so from that point where you were on Earth and you get blown up by the big laser at the end,
right?
From that point on, it's all in his head. And the Reapers are trying to get him to follow what they wanted him to do. So the whole thing with Admiral Anderson and Elusive Man is all in his head. Mm-hmm. It's because if you read the books, like you hear voices and stuff. So it kind of fits in with that. And then the choices at the end, you're either two of those choices, the left and the right, or the left and the center choices. The leftmost choice is what the Elusive Man wanted. So that's what the Reapers wanted. And the center choice is what Saren wanted in the first game. So that's also what the Reapers wanted.
Which was the center one again?
That's synthesized to become...
Oh, right. Everybody's...
Which
like,
is what Shipwreck and I both picked.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the one on the right is what they don't want. But that's kill the Reapers.
Right.
And then if you do that, you have the potential of waking back up on Earth with that breath or whatever. But my whole issue with this thing, other than it wasn't explained at all, and like they went way too philosophical with this whole thing and got way too smart with themselves.
Okay.
Is that, okay, let's say that it was all in his head. When he wakes back up on Earth, what the hell has been solved?
So in indoctrination, does everything blow up or is it that in his head too?
Well, what did he solve up there? Like, if it's all in his head, yeah. Like, if he if he jumps in the thing and kills all the Reapers, but it's all in his head,
then like did all, he
the
really
only thing he's done is like
wake himself
prove
up
that you can overcome and, the Reapers in your head. Yeah,
they might as well just kill him.
It just sets everything in motion for Mass Effect 4,
which would be
where Shepard goes around and teaches everybody how to fight the Reapers with his mind.
Which sounds pretty boring.
And why wouldn't the Reapers just want to kill him instead? Wouldn't that be better?
You mean,
well, that's in that indoctrination video too, because they see him as a potential valuable asset.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if I
you
like
should watch that indoctrination video. It's got a lot of interesting I think points, it's, and I think a lot of them are right. But
I don't know if I just, I don't know if I like that. I think I just don't like that idea. That's
you
all
don't
a dream.
Want that to be.
The it's a dream ending is so lousy. Yeah, it sounds awful.
But it makes sense because they go into how he's having all those hallucinations about that kid throughout the game, and that how nobody else saw that kid at all during the game, and then you get up to the top and there's this hologram kid all of a sudden again. So it makes sense.
It does, but it doesn't.
It doesn't make
it
sense.
It does, but it doesn't. Exactly. Yeah. So let's say indoctrination isn't the way, and the ending that you see is the actual ending, and all the mass relays blow up. Although even in...
Well, that makes no sense.
So, yeah. So all the mass relays have blown up. So every giant armada is now stuck on Earth. So all the work you did in the main game, like curing the Genophage and, you know, ending the Geth Tali War, was all pointless because everyone's stuck on a planet that's too small to hold everyone. And right. So mass relays were built by the Protheans or the Reapers?
Right. They were built by the Reapers?
50?
I think Javik at one point said that... I know the Citadel was built by the Reapers.
Okay, and it was built, what, approximately over 50,000 years ago. And in that 50,000 years, a mass relay has never broken down.
They got the keepers out there working.
And no one has ever had to build a second one. Like, a new one. Like, let's build a colony on this planet. Oh, there's no mass relay there. Well, maybe we should add a new one. You know, they still build highways in this country. I can't imagine they would just say, well, there's enough roads in the universe.
Well, now they got no roads.
And now they have no roads. No one bothered to reverse engineer a mass relay where, you know, if one...
It was hard.
Is it? They've had over 50,000 years to figure out how a mass relay works.
I don't know.
They've just figured out, the humans have just figured out how to get into space.
Yeah, but there's other races of creature out there.
You know, to be honest with you, when they at the end of the game where they give you the choice of the three different ways you can go, I wasn't clear on which way.
I stood there and looked at it for a long time.
Like how are you supposed to know which way had which consequence?
They're colored.
And how am I supposed to know? Because there's no text on the screen at that point. You're supposed to remember?
Yes.
You're supposed to know after playing three games of this, the blue choice is the good choice and the red choice is the bad choice.
Oh, they were colored. You're saying they were colored.
They were colored Renegade and Paragon.
I didn't even notice that.
It's funny. I didn't notice the colors either until after the fact. I just ran towards the big beam of light in the middle because it was the big beam of light in the middle.
Because you didn't care at that point.
I didn't care. Exactly.
Like, what the hell is going on? I don't care anymore.
That's exactly what happened to me. I didn't. And my, you know, Shima was sitting next to me on the couch and she's like, What are you doing? Why are you going to that one? And I'm like, because I don't even care. Because I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to go to this one because I don't know. It's closest.
The actual endings that you watch are essentially
the same.
It was closer. Yeah. That mass relay thing really bothers me. Really? That's it. They've blown up, and now no one can build the new one.
But what about the fact that all the endings are really the exact same, except they're different colors?
Yes.
Except for the Shepard taking the breath. That was pretty disappointing, too. I don't know. How do you think? I mean, my question is, how does BioWare not know when they're making this game that the ending is pretty lackluster? Is it because they don't focus group this stuff? Like when you make a movie, they screen it for people before they release it. And they get people's opinions on the ending and things like that. But with video games, I wonder if that even happens.
Probably,
I doubt
probably
it,
not
right?
with the end. No, not with the end at all. I mean, I'm sure they. Right. I mean, obviously they did QA testing on it, but you know,
but they don't get any outside feedback on the actual story.
When they wrote the ending, they probably thought the ending was awesome.
Right, because they didn't get any feedback. Just like when George Lucas made those last three Star Wars movies, he didn't have anybody tell him. You know, nobody's got the balls to tell him that they suck.
Pretty much. I mean, and that's kind of what happened. I feel like happened at the end of this game is that last 10 minutes just really doesn't jive with the rest of the game. And you don't, and there's not that real closure. What happened to everyone on my ship? That is, what, they land on that planet and now James and Ashley are going to repopulate the human race?
Nope. It was Joker and Edie.
Yes, well,
it changes. It changes depending on who, what.
Well, I'm assuming they're on the ship, though. I mean, they don't all walk off the ship, but just because you only see two people walk off the ship doesn't mean that Ashley's not...
I saw three.
Yeah, three. I did have three.
I think you see different people, though, depending on...
I had Edie, Joker, and I want to say maybe Garrus, but honestly, I don't remember who the third was.
It wasn't Tali?
It might have been.
I thought it was the two that made sense with the choice you made and your love interest, but...
Oh. Maybe it was Tali.
That's just how it worked for...
Maybe it was Tali. Honestly don't remember. It might have been Tali. Yes, and you get Joker with the with green lines in his face because now he's half robot. So I guess now he can procreate with Edie.
Right.
As long as she got a vagina.
Well...
As long as that was part of the deal.
Yeah, well, I thought she always had one. She has working parts.
Yeah, she said that she could do it, I think.
Okay.
I think. Ship, what did you think when Morden died?
I saw it coming a long ways out.
Because you couldn't play as him?
Well, no. They are not very, at least for me, it wasn't very subtle, a lot of the things that were getting ready to happen in the game.
Okay.
It just kind of like made sense.
Yeah, no, I don't even think that it wasn't a good job. I think they set it up very well where, oh, this is Morden's fate. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think they foreshadowed it quite well, where he talks about that he's getting older and that it's his responsibility cure the genocide.
It was like, as soon as he said, I'm getting old, I'm like, oh, Morden's going to die in this game.
Same thing with the other guy, green fish guy. He talks about how sick he is, but he doesn't want to...
He's been doing that since he existed.
But he doesn't want to die that way.
I was a little moved when Morden died. I thought that the whole line, the whole thing about the, you know, going to the beach and, you know, what did he say? Taking samples of the seashells or something like that, scanning the seashells. I don't know. I thought that was...
Yeah. And then he starts singing there when he's dying. It's pretty good.
Yeah. It was emotional.
No, that's very well done. There were parts of that game that I thought were very well done.
Well, almost all of it.
And then there was between Morden and then the Tali and Legion thing, there was a big gap of just boring crap.
Yeah, I like the whole Geth. How did that end for you, that whole war? How did you guys end it off?
Talia killed herself in my game.
I heard that happened. That did not happen to me.
She jumped off a building or something.
That's crazy. Why?
I don't even remember. That's what I said. She jumped off a building. I was like, why?
No, she jumps off a cliff because she can't stand to see her people die because you send them in and the Geth are going to crush them.
Oh, so you did not solve the war peacefully.
Oh, no, I did.
No, Cheapy didn't.
I guess I blew it. No. I don't really remember what happened.
Oh,
you had the Geth going with you then.
Yeah, I had the Geth. I figured, you know what? I figured it would be better to have the Geth come with me to fight the Reapers than those... gas mask dudes.
Well, you know, there's a way to solve that peacefully where they both work together and the Geth actually help rebuild the planet for them. And eventually they won't need gas masks anymore because they solve their disease issue once they start working together.
Except, everybody died.
Yeah, except everyone died. Died at the end anyway. Like, I just spent 4 hours solving this whole problem. I went and did that boring as fuck Tron mission. And now you're going to tell me this? So that was awful.
What Tron mission?
The Tron mission was terrible.
Where you go into the computer.
Oh, and you have to walk on the steps, but the steps, you're like, wait, do I go to the left or the right? Oh, that was awful.
Right.
Yeah. Shooting the orange blocks.
It was bad in Saints Row 3.
No, it was good in Saints Row 3.
No, it was good there.
When you're the toilet?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
But it just doesn't work at all in Mass Effect. The whole virtual reality mission, it just... But I like that whole section. I like the whole plot line. I liked all the everything that went along with it. I thought that went very well. I thought all the stuff that involved curing the genophage worked very well. All those missions, you know, with Garrus and...
Did everybody cure the genophage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I did too.
Did you have...
You got to have the Krogans. I mean, you're going into battle.
But which Krogan, who's your leader again?
My leader's Reeve.
Yeah, I don't have him. I have
leader?
Rex.
What do you mean leader?
I have Rex. Do you have...
Oh, I killed Rex.
So you have Reeve then.
I have Reeve.
Yeah, I don't even know what Reeve looks like.
He looks like Rex.
He looks like a toad.
Does Grunt live or die in your game?
He lived.
Grunt? I think
they make you think he's going to die, and then he comes back.
Yeah, I think it's that's like, what happened.
Okay. Yeah.
It's the same thing that happens with Kasumi.
Yep, Kasumi's alive in mine as well. Cheapy, did you play that DLC with Kasumi?
I did, yes. Okay. I played all the DLC from Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I mean...
Are you going to play the Mass Effect 3 DLC?
I don't know. We talked about this last week. Enough? I just don't know what the point of it is going to be. I mean, I'll definitely download the free epilogue because I'm curious to know what happens to everyone on New Genesis or whatever they're calling it.
Poochie comes back.
Exactly. Yeah. Does Shepard come back? And I think Shepard could come back. I think there's, you know, there's obviously, well, not obviously, I think there's room for a Mass Effect 4 where I know they don't want you to play a Shepard anymore, but you don't have to play a Shepard anymore. You know, there's... They need to rebuild the mass relays, and I think that that's possible. I'm going to go out on a limb and say someone somewhere knows how to build a mass relay.
They should have, in Mass Effect 4, they should have Shepard be like Captain Pike in Star Trek.
Exactly,
Where he's just in a box, and he can only like say yes or no. Isn't
Well, maybe not that far.
Lights.
I think if anything, Shepard should be the ambassador on the Citadel.
Trying to start over the
Spectres, and you're his first recruit, and he asks you to try and bring the Alliance back together and recruit new Spectres, and that's Mass Effect 4.
Space combat and space communication.
That all would actually make sense in trying to rebuild the Alliance and make a new group of Spectres, starring whatever this guy is, you know, the new young recruit Spectre.
Right.
I thought it was lame that Ashley got to be a Spectre.
Yeah, that bothered you? It
bothered me. I didn't think she was cool enough.
Right, and basically, she got to become a Spectre because she got her ass kicked by somebody.
Well, by Mass Effect 3, who are the Spectres? There's Shepard and there's eventually Ashley, but who else?
They never tell you. They never show any others, I don't think.
You didn't get to recruit them.
But
you would think you'd have wanted to recruit the Spectres.
Or at least talk to another one. You don't even talk to another. You talk to the head of CSEC.
That guy has a terrible haircut.
He has your haircut. But, you know, where are this? Like, the thing that people talked about for Mass Effect 1, and I talked about it a lot, it was like, oh, I get it. It's like Green Lantern. But you're playing as they're called Spectres and they solve crimes across the universe. I get it. It was really cool. But they totally dropped it. I mean, I guess they dropped it for a good reason in Mass Effect 2 because you're playing for Cerberus. But in Mass Effect 3, there's good reason to bring the Spectres back into the fold. And they kind of let that dangle there. Yet you could still go to the Spectre office, select things on the Spectre computer, buy Spectre weapons.
Authorize all of them because
no one else, because there's no other Spectres.
There's no other choice.
It's you or nobody. It's like this whole dummy operation that's going on. Like maybe if people think there are Spectres, they feel safer in the Citadel, even though there aren't any.
Dude, how cool would a new Mass Effect game be that takes place, let's say before Mass Effects 1, 2, and 3, where you're a Spectre, and yeah, you're basically like a space cop.
But you're not going to be a human then. It's going to be the First Contact Wars then.
Yeah, see,
oh,
that
because Shepard was the first.
Shepard was the first human Spectre. That's why it needs to be after the fact, where Shepard appoints you as the first human Spectre, and you have to go and rebuild the Spectre.
Second human Spectre.
Yeah, the whole Spectre thing, where you're drafting in like six new people from different, and the cool part would be that. You know, with each mission, you could choose like one or of two or three people to be your new Spectre, which would actually give you a reason to play the game more than once.
I would like to do that as long as I have ship combat and
I'll give you ship comment as long as you're willing.
I got a different idea.
Okay.
What if you played as a small hologram child and then just like randomly like inserted yourself into different scenarios?
Right.
Like
you just show
out
up.
Of the blue. Just show up in different scenarios and you have to tell people what to do.
How they're gonna die.
Yeah, that's like the whole game is just you like show up in a room and you see some guy you've never seen before. You're like, pick one of these doors. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. That was so lame. Should we answer? There's a lot of questions about Mass Effect.
Well, then let's answer some of them.
Let's go through some of these. Distrato asks, how do you think it's possible that no gaming website or magazine brought up the bad ending? Could it have been embargoed? Could they have asked people not to talk about the ending at all? Not mention the ending?
In reviews, there's a lot of times you don't mention the ending. Because you don't want to spoil anything.
But there's ways that you can say that you could say,
yeah, despite a disappointing final act, the game is still an amazing achievement in video gamery.
I mean, I didn't read any reviews, so I can't tell you.
Yeah, I didn't read any reviews either.
But Distrato says that no, that they didn't talk about it. So I don't know. That is, I would have liked, yeah, I mean, that would have been nice if.
Reviews don't matter for this type of game.
Yeah, like, I mean, I didn't read them anyway.
All you had to see was, like, it get a decent score, and then you're like, oh, I was going to buy it anyways.
Right, so. Exactly. That's why I didn't read the review.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess, I don't know. Maybe they didn't think it was that bad until they heard from everyone else that it was bad. Maybe the reviewers didn't
realize.
It
really feels like they ripped stuff out, like,
to sell it as
DLC. Explain stuff. It really feels like they did.
Oh, we didn't even talk about From Ashes. You know, we danced around that for so long, but the whole idea of it explaining not just what the visions were, but why the visions were so weird for Shepard. And now
I forgot. Tell me.
Well, basically, you know, the Protheans made that thing that Shepard touches, the artifact that he touches in Mass Effect 1, the beacon.
Thank
you.
Yeah, I remember that.
He touches it and he gets these visions, but the visions don't make any sense to him, really. They just come in flashes. And he gets them often enough.
Yeah.
They were built by the Protheans as a warning device, but they didn't realize that the beacons wouldn't interact properly with human physiology.
Ah, okay.
So he wasn't getting the complete message, and the Protheans thought that he would get the complete message. So, but you actually learn what the beacon was and what it was built for. And, you know, it explains, I don't know, everything from Mass Effect 1 and 2.
I see.
But that's, you have to pay $10 to know that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Batmonkey writes in and he asks, do you think EA, with their desire to monetize Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3, swayed the original story ideas BioWare put into play with Mass Effect 1?
In a way, yes, but I think you know, the EA influence to me feels more like the multiplayer with the card packs. That feels like the EA influence, and I feel like that's enough. Like, they probably would have and should have been happy with that.
Yeah, it doesn't even bother me in the multiplayer, that stuff. But
no, it doesn't bother me at all either, because A, you don't need to buy it, and B, you know, it's not, it's all co-op, so it doesn't even affect your experience.
Ako Konas asks, did any of you three drop the difficulty down to easy during the final mission? Me, I did.
I did. For the very, very end, I did.
The one, wherever the one was, like a million banshees coming at you.
Yep, and I did it like for, I think, I don't know, 40 minutes before I said, screw this, and I dropped the difficulty down.
I don't think I even went 40 minutes.
I think I died 4 times in this game. I didn't drop the difficulty down at all.
Really? Yeah, I mean, I didn't have any problem with the game until that point, really.
I thought it was a little ridiculous. We talked about this slightly last week, but I went through the entire game with pretty much the sniper rifle that I started with and the armor that I started with. And just, I mean, I bought the upgrades for those, but you could
import did you import a character?
From 2, I did.
You get, so he started off at like
level 33 or 34, something like that.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, I mean, you just headshot everybody. And then, like, the Banshees and stuff, they take a few more hits, but...
I never used a sniper rifle once in the entire game.
Me neither. Me neither.
I use the I use the heavy pistol a lot. And
I really didn't use my weapons that much. I would, you know, I would go with the I would lift them up into the air and then zap them with the warp.
That's because you played as a different kind of character than I did. I was a soldier, so I had fire bullets.
Right.
Lots of fire bullets.
Ship, have you played the multiplayer at all yet or no?
No. No.
Are you going
to? The only thing I played to get any readiness rating was a little bit of the iPhone game.
It doesn't matter because the readiness rating didn't mean anything.
Does that give you more hammer? Does more hammer guys show up? Which I... Did they mention hammer at all? Like before, like all of a sudden hammer was a big deal at the end.
Wait, who's hammer?
I don't know.
Who's hammer?
it was a force or something. I'm guessing it tells you somewhere in like the data logs or something, but they just like said hammer like a million times at the end. They're like, oh, I thought we'd have more hammer.
I don't even remember that.
Okay. Is that a guy? Is that...
Let's see here. What else we got? Henry Wong asks, are you saddened that the very end of the game gets all the headlines, even though the content up to the finale is actually very good? I'm not saddened by it. I mean, I think the criticism is completely valid.
And I think it makes for interesting conversation. I think it's very interesting to talk. I think it's amazing that this ending means so much to so many people that we're talking about it for this long. That is a testament.
I mean, there's a lot of time invested over those three games. Like, you're talking about 90 hours.
Probably more, yeah.
More.
I think Mass Effect 2 is definitely better than 3, though.
Well, the problem I have with 3-2 is that Mass Effect 2 had a lot of character development, and you had the loyalty missions, and like you got to know the characters pretty well. Mass Effect 3, it kind of relied on what you'd already built in 2, and kind of, I don't know, it felt a little bit more heavy-handed in the character development. There wasn't as much of it.
And there was too much padding with the Citadel. I know you guys didn't agree with me last week, but...
No, there's too much padding. No,
I agreed with you.
With the loading screen.
A lot of people complained about the loading screens in the comment section last week, but... And I still complain about it, but there was too much Citadel padding, where in Mass Effect 2, I think, you know, the quote-unquote padding in that game was the loyalty missions, which actually were all riveting and awesome. As opposed to this game where it was a lot of, okay, I guess I got to go back to the Citadel now. To in between these kind of set piece missions where you're either, you know, helping Garrus's general or helping the you know, Rex or whoever you had as your head of the Krogan or helping Tali and the Geth. You know, there were those and the Morden missions and Jack at the school. Those are all really cool missions. But
there weren't a lot of them, though.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of, like, really tiny missions in there, too. Like, completely random stuff, almost.
It felt like there was less stuff to do in this one compared to 2.
I can't remember as many of the missions as well as I could in 2.
Yeah, I just feel like I was, you know, we like to do everything, pretty much. And I remember sort of, like, running out of things to do. I'm like, all right, I guess we'll go back to the Citadel because there's nothing left here. What did you think of the changes made to the planet scanning?
It was unnecessary in the sense that they should have just gotten rid of it altogether. Because you didn't really do anything that made any difference to any part of the game.
Right. Yeah. What they need to do in the next one is when you scan the planets, you can choose like where you land on the planets. They need to have like randomly generated planets that you can land on and drive around on. Like
so Mass Effect 1.
Like Starfleet. No, randomly generated, right? They didn't have that in Mass Effect 1. They just dropped you down in the ship. But like Mass Effect 1, where you could land and drive around, but with, you know, not just through like some set piece that they made, like where
but
you can actually...
What would be the point of landing on the planet and driving around?
Well, you can look for artifacts and things like that, look for valuable stuff. I mean, that's just like what you did in Starfleet. You know, you get into fights.
Yeah, it seems pointless to me. I'd much rather be trying to find people to recruit to the new Spectres and reuniting the Alliance and finding things you need to rebuild the mass relays. Now you're working towards something that makes sense in the Mass Effect universe. Maybe there are planets out there that you need to scan and land on in order to find the elements needed to rebuild the mass relays.
Just keep the mass relays dead. It's just nothing but trouble.
Maybe they just invent warp drives.
And really, the Citadel was built by the Reapers. It's been around for over 50,000 years, and no one bothered to, like, figure out what the thing was made of. Like, what was the purpose of this thing? Yeah, what is this thing? I don't know. Let's put an office in it.
Let's just open up a shopping mall.
It'd be like if they found the wreck of the Titanic and turned it into an office building.
It was a pretty nice office building, though.
Because that's all it is. And there's a hospital.
I don't know. I really like the game overall. It's just the ending. And I know I saw your tweet, Ship. You like, you wrote just like, all right, I finished the game and eject. Yeah, I was like, what?
But it's, I think it's come. I think the explanation's coming. And I think they had it planned all along to explain it.
But you thought it was going to be paid DLC? Or?
And you they had to have DLC of some sort for this game. And it's like,
well,
it's kind of difficult
to add on
if he's dead.
Well, no. Well, the game ends. It brings you right. It brings you back.
Yeah,
to
ship.
To right before you, you know, kill Kai Lang or whatever his name is. You know, right before
Why
that mission.
Why didn't it start after that?
I know because
why what?
Because they know you're not going to do it again. It's just so you can play the DLC, which is again probably pointless if it adds another crew member to your ship with all those empty rooms. Because you know that DLC is only good if you play through the whole game again. To really get the effect of having a new crew member, unless you only want to take your new crew member on one mission, it just seems kind of.
Is there a new game plus?
I took the same two crew members the whole time, anyways.
Well, yeah. So. I switched it up every now and again.
I didn't.
I like variety.
All right. Anything else? Are we done?
I think we're done. I think we're good. We talked about it for a good 40 minutes. That's a lot of Mass Effect.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess to wrap it up, we all liked, right? We all liked the game a lot.
I still think it's a great game. Yes, it's a great game. It's definitely worth playing. It does have some plot holes, but I do think there is room for Mass Effect 4, and I would like to see one.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure you will. Mm-hmm. No question. Okay. All right, then. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to our wonderful show. Follow us on Twitter, GPD, Wombat5277, and Shipwreck. And, of course, at facebook.com/cheapassgamer. And don't forget to go to godaddy.com and register your domains and get your web hosting. 10% off any order, CAG 10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG 5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registrations, CAG domain. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
Redstone.
I picked my squad. I chose my path. Past. My universe will never be the same, but ME3, your ending's kinda lame. Aboard the Normandy, Shepard has got a thing for us, sorry. And Joker's mind undressing AIED. It's like a multi-species love orgy. The final chapter's here. Crucible set to go. Turns out the elusive man's working with Ezio. And now that might sound absurd, but if you played the game, you'd want an alt ending. Let's hope the DLC will make it worth playing. Squad.